friends and fam. Well, hey, you know, essentially we have a terminal illness. We're going to die. You know, it's just a matter of time. Be life, you know, being here is you have your terminal, you know, you so have that perspective now. Slow things down now, you know, get the flow happening now. And you will have those blessings come into your life. You know, you will, it will mean more. And in that meaning, you will create more for yourself and for those around you than you ever would have in the old life of pressure, because you'll be coming from a better place, a healthier, happier place. So that what you contribute will also be of that sort.
Mm. Wonderful. Very nice put. And again, we're back to the idea of daring to face death in a way. And it's, again, you just, you know, pointed out again why it's such a key part of life, as it were. And you know, one thing that I did was just briefly check up on I did this very basic search for Zen, and find, of course, the Enso, the symbol of Zen. And what I find interesting, of course, is that looks very much like, some would say, an Ouroboros, the snake that is eating its own tail, but also like very much like an eye in the hurricane, actually. You know, and these things have ways of applying themselves on a micro and you know, macro level, you know. And I found it just interesting, because another thing, of course, as well, is that we talked about before. If you watch someone that is in, within meditation, Zen meditation, in many cases they hold their hands to make the to form an egg, you know, a special. You can look at pictures on this online, and to me that very much kind of represented that one is in, if you will, kind of control of one's ego, but also that it's smaller than you, meaning that you actually, the ego is small enough so you can hold it in your hand. And it's like you're setting the ego away from yourself while you're in this moment of meditation, Zen meditation. Found it interesting. Any comments, Chris?
Yeah, that's a great way to indicate that space, you know, because that ego is also the mind and everything contained in the mind. And yeah, it's like a state of repose. It's a state of being at rest. You know, that's one thing, you know, I've found that I resonate with cats very well. Mm-hmm. I've tried to get pets, like I've tried to get dogs before, and then they always like chew up my phone or pee on my music or something, and they kind of drive me nuts with all their yappity yapping and stuff like that. And I've tried to get birds, but they then like bite my finger and poop all over the house and stuff like that. But I've gotten cats, and I get along extremely well with cats, and I have two cats that I've had for about 10 years now. Mm. Maybe they've rubbed off on me a little bit, but I kind of look at that as a cat-like thing, to remain relaxed. But that doesn't mean your awareness isn't sharp.
Right, exactly.
You're still really that, you're there. You know, it's just that state of reflection. It's just presence. You're just there.
Mm.
You know, where you say, if you can sometimes see in other people, if they're coming from a certain place in their mind, yeah, I recognize that. This person's got, you know, has got anger issues. Or, yeah, this person's, you know, mom like smothered him, or this person got smacked around by somebody, or, you know, I don't know. You can just kind of see these things in the mind that come out, present themselves sometimes, but the state of being a watcher, there's not going to be anything there. So the people that you can't get a fix on a lot of the times are the people whose energy is enough that it's not in these fixed mental angles. There, it's a free flow, it's a vibrant coursing of energy, and it's just a look that sees.
Mm, very nice. You know, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about as well, Chris, is the idea of, I guess we could say the West meets the East. You've had kind of a little bit, I guess, of a slogan on your website, creativecosmos.org, that talks about the, you know, integration, or at least kind of the communication between the West and East. And I, you know, just want to hear from your kind of perspective, if you think that this is something that we see in the world today, we can look at this either from a kind of a, you know, a geopolitical level, but we can also look at it on a spiritual level, of course. Some people would say, you know, we can look at economics and see how things are balancing themselves out in one way, from one perspective, between the East and the West. Any ideas about that, Chris? Have you kind of thought about that since you've been kind of close with that concept of the integration between the West and the East?
Well, yeah, I mean, one thing about the East is that they have a, like we've been saying, a slower concept of time, you know, where the West, particularly America, is such a new phenomenon, and it's always hyped up all the time. And the East might be, you know, nice and even and nice and slow. And I think that people from the East have come to the West specifically to try to help essentially mellow the West out. You know, get them to chill out a little bit, and that you don't have to be constantly occupied. Or, you know, that's one thing of the economy. One part of the basic economic capitalism thing that is happening in America now is you've got to always be just like striving to make more money. You know, yeah. and the fact that to get something, they loan you the money, put you in the debt. And then you've got to work to pay off that debt, and then you can start trying to get ahead. But meanwhile, everything you try to buy, there's debt.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like doesn't necessarily make, you know, what's happening now is this stuff has just gotten crazy. The interest rates on everything, you know, if you're paying 29.99% on a credit card, you're pretty much doomed. There's just no way you can catch up with it. You know, $100 could turn into $1,000, and with late fees, $5, $10, and people just give up, and these things go insane. You know, and in the old world, usury was one of the greatest crimes. Charging loan people money and charging them high interest rate was considered a very bad crime, like a crime against humanity.
Exactly.
We talk about that word, that term, in other sense, crimes against humanity. But think about that infliction of loaning you money at high interest rates. For many, you know, probably thousands of years, was considered a crime against humanity.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that they've managed to introduce. And as you say, and also on a kind of micro and macrocosm level, these things are always interesting, even from a mythological perspective, actually. If we look at the West, that has, I think, from the perspective of Egypt, West has been looked upon as the area of death, actually, you know, an area, the kingdom of the dead, basically, reigns in the West, you know, and the East, of course, with the sun rising in the East, right? It more represents spring and the, you know, the beginnings of life, or where life comes from in one way. I personally have always kind of seen, you know, look at it as the West represents the masculine in a way, and the East is the feminine, or even as the right brain and the left brain, the hemispheres, on a global level, of course, on a planetary level, of course. And potentially, again, then we could see, hopefully, some kind of balancing out of these forces. Maybe on one level we can begin to use both brain halves in unison, or both the parts of the West and the East in unison, and that would help to bring a better and more stable picture to the world. Ideas about that, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're also talking head and heart, or science and religion, kind of. You know, the West has been the leader in science for, you know, many years now, and the East brings this ancient tradition of, you know, esoteric true spirituality. You know, the West, as their standard religion, Christianity, is right now, they cut out many things, you know, many types of these broader experiences. You know, different versions of them do it different ways, but, you know, we don't need to have just one way. And anybody who starts talking exclusiveness with me, well, this is the only way, everybody else is wrong. Well, you've lost me already.
You know? Yeah.
You lost me on, what do you mean? I don't get it. You know, that kind of a thing. But yeah, you know, I think that's maybe the alchemy that we are trying to tap dance through right now is some as the bridging of those worlds. And, you know, that happens inside of us. That is the Zen circle you were talking about. When we as individuals bridge that world inside of ourselves, you know, when we can use the scientific mind while also having a basis of heart and understanding there with it. So we don't use it to inflict violence, but we use it creatively to manifest positive things. And you know, this, we have to cultivate this friendly approach to each other, because if so much of our resources, I mean, things would be just fine. I mean, really also this economic business, well, it's a result of the wars.
Yeah, duh. Of course.
You know, yeah. Yeah, the wars. I mean, all this money being poured into, you know, harming others or, you know, inflicting insane amounts of damage. You know, it's justified 1,000 different ways, but maybe this economic, I don't know, disaster is directly tied to that. You know, the other side of that. How long can you spend billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, you know, just funding a war so far away? And when does it all give out? When do the individuals involved, the troops there, you know, I'm sure they're not all thrilled to be there. And I bet many of them feel like they're trapped there. And that's, you know, we hear of suicides over there and stuff, because it's probably a hell they can't feel they can get away from any other way, because the deal was changed on them. You know, the callbacks, second time, third time, fourth time. You know, I mean, of course they're going to get exhausted and worn out. I mean, it's all going to get worn out. You just can't keep. I mean, isn't this exactly what the Roman Empire did, overextending themselves and all these crazy long reach wars? And then they eventually kind of caved in on the inside.
Yeah.
But we don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be that way. And however bad it seems, we can pull it back and we can make it right. It's amazing how if you started taking a different approach and applying positive solutions and working for each other, how fast we could move on some of these things.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. And the idea of also, I guess, false values, you know, all the money system overall, it's very much like a, you know, it's like a game. People are, you know, in that regard, playing with money or with the different values of things, and it's many cases, you know, unethical. We could go on the jive that Ian Lungold and even Carl Johan Kellerman would talk about, I guess, also to kind of add to this perspective that this very unbalanced way of handling the economy, handling the way the wars are being fought, you know, or war overall, you know, that this is the economy is excuse me, a little bit of a representation. Of, you know, I don't know what to call it. Maybe the, you know, the force of the world, where the flow of the energy needs to be at that particular point. So a little bit what is happening is that the rug is being, you know, drawn from under the feet of America a little bit like that. You know, it's like, okay, wait a minute here. You know, are we on the right track here? Do we need to think twice about this? You know. And it can be obviously be very unstable for a short period. But as you say, Chris, I think it's worth pointing that out, that it's not necessary for, you know, the U.S. or America to you know, go under because of this, you know, or crash or have a much heavier, you know, crash than what already has occurred. And things can turn around, I think. I definitely feel that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where, again, we have to unplug from the media fear-mongering machine that's trying to make it seem like the sky is falling. You know, we just have to see it for what it is and then do something about it. You know, especially, you know, there's people, you know, spiritual people or people awakening up in all these different fields too. You know, if you're closer to the situation, this might be a time for you to come out and present a strong alternative. You know, it's people who really, you know, lawyers or, you know, business people or other people, you know, they can be leading advocates for a positive change. You know, exchanging money doesn't have to